Great. Have a seat. Cool. Well, we've got a few questions from the box. And again, we've got a small enough group here that if anything occurs to you, if this is your question and it's not answered in the way that you were hoping, then stick your hand up and we can ask a bit more. And if something occurs to you, then do ask. So I'm going to ask Nathan to come here. Bev's got a microphone as well. Again, other youth leaders, if there's something that you particularly wanted to say, then you can join in as well. When you've written notes, I better give them back to you. The theme. What's the theme of today? Called Love Kept. Brilliant. So this is a really practical question from someone. What are we looking for to know that we are loved and called?
Great. What are we looking for? So what are kind of the evidence? You know, what's the... you know, artists put a signature on a painting and you recognize it. In some ways, you know, what is the signature of God on the work that he's really loved you and called you? I want to take you back to start with just to the talk, because there's some evidence there. So the fact that you can look back to a day when you were invited and you responded to the gospel, the Bible talks about the fact that that's a day of evidence that you can look to say, no, there was a moment where I really believe this is true. Now, that was not possible. You have to understand that. That was not possible for you unless God made that happen, unless God made that come true. And so Paul encourages the Thessalonian Christians to look back to the day when they believed as a mark that God was really at work in them. Does that make sense? So that's one of the evidences of it. One of the other evidences, as it were, of being called is what John the Baptist calls the fruit of repentance. So Jesus tells another story a bit later as well. He picks up on another idea. He says, by a fruit, you will know a tree. So if I have an apple tree, what would you expect to see on it? Apples. If I had an orange tree, what would you expect to see on it? Oranges. Now, if you're a Christian tree, i.e. you really are called and loved, what do you expect to see? Well, you expect to see the fruit of repentance. You expect to see a life that is being transformed to look more like Jesus. Holy Spirit on the inside, Holy Spirit fruit on the outside. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Those are the kind of things. And those evidences are there if someone is really called and loved. There's all sorts of other evidences as well of God's love. People in tough times. You're all part of churches where I'm sure you've experienced tough things happening. And if you go and speak to someone, an older Christian who's been through a tough time, let me give you an evidence. You go and speak to them. And anyone who's come through a tough time as a believer, a true believer, will say, God loved me. God really loved me. God looked after me. Make use of the older Christians around you. And I mean that. I know sometimes... Do you know what? It's amazing. Sorry, I'm going off on one.
Okay.
Like, guys your age, you know probably a lot more older people than other people your age do. So most guys your age will probably know their kind of uncles and aunties and maybe some of their parents' friends. But that's all the older people they know. Whereas you guys get to mix with older people all the time, and it makes you very distinctive. But it also means you've got access to loads more resources than other people have. And as a Christian young person, you've got to make use of that. Join a home group. Go to a Bible study. Go in, don't just talk to your mates after church. Go and speak to an older person, because it's there you'll see. So that's what it looks like that God loves us, because these guys have traveled the journey ahead of you. And go and ask them that question. What does it look like when God really loves us? And it'll be like, I've come through a tough time, but God kept me going. He helped me. He was with me. He gave me strength. You know, all those kind of things. So I think I'd probably add that. I don't know if you had anything else. And the last thing I'd say, guys, sometimes you can't judge the world by your feelings. Mm. Sometimes you have to judge it by what's true, not what you feel. And the Bible is God's truth. So sometimes when our emotions are doing this all the time, actually what we've got is this, the constant of God's word, the constant of God's character. And that's why God tells us so much about his character, because he wants you to cling to his character, because it's unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You cling to his character, and then when all your emotions are up and down, you can cling to what's true. And that's sometimes what we have to do when we're struggling to think, well, am I called? Am I loved? Yes, I am, because that's what God says.
That's really helpful. I mean, we live in a culture where that doesn't like truth. And so to say that this is true, well, people don't say that. They say, this is true for me. What's true for you is different. But here is something that is true, and that's what we rely on. So that's really helpful.
Does that answer the question? Whoever asked that question, does that answer the question? Don't be embarrassed if it was your question. I'd much prefer to have answered your question than, than you go home and think, well, I asked it, but you didn't answer it.
And I guess as well, just to find someone that knows you really well, that you trust, and ask them, are they seeing those things that Nathan was saying, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of repentance? Do they see? It's brilliant. We've talked a bit about John, the apostle. He wrote some letters later in the Bible. If you were to say to a guy who spent 3 years in the company of Jesus, who was described as the disciple who Jesus loved, if you asked him, what is your greatest joy, what do you think he would say? You'd expect him to say, oh, it's knowing Jesus. He didn't. He said, my greatest joy is knowing that my brothers and sisters are walking in the truth. And for us, as youth leaders, for those people who were our youth leaders when we were young, the greatest joy, the most wonderful thing, is seeing you guys move on and to move on with the Lord. So find someone who you know, who you love, who you trust, and get them to say, do you think, am I moving, am I going on with the Lord? And I guess the very fact of asking the question usually means that there's lots going on there. So sticking with that theme of being called, it's a really good question. If God has called us and he loves us, why does he still let us go astray? I think we're all aware that we do. I don't think anyone here thinks they're perfect. Why does he let us go astray?
Can I be honest? There's no one simple answer to that question. The Bible has many things that it says. So God is, if you read a part of the Bible called Hebrews 12, it says that God is like a father who disciplines his children. And actually, sometimes God graciously disciplines us by allowing us to go astray and then bringing us back to himself. We're particularly going to pick up on this in the last talk, if that's okay. So I'm going to save some of it. So at one level, you know, why does God allow us to go astray? Because he's like a loving father who knows what's best for his children. And actually, you know, sometimes with your kids, and I know this sounds awful, but having now got kids, you kind of get this, that sometimes you have to let them kind of do something so they realize it's a mistake, and then you can teach them and train them through it. And our Heavenly Father's like that. It's not an unloving thing. He always does what's best for us. Romans 8, we read that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love you. So if something happens to you, like you go astray, he allows that. It's always for the loving purpose of making you more like Jesus, or bringing you back to the safety and security of his love. Keep yourself in God's love. Very often God allows things to happen to us to strip away everything that's wrong in our faith and to bring us back to Jesus. But it's not, that's not an easy question, and we're going to come to this in the last talk a bit more, if that's okay, because that's the whole kept idea, a little bit more.
Cool. One specifically related to a little part of Jude. So towards the end, Jude is addressing those who are being faithful, and verse 22 says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire." So why does it say for us to snatch people from the fire when it's God who saves? You talked a lot about, in the first session particularly, about God's grace.
Yeah.
And that was one of the questions in the session as well, that God is the one who does the calling.
Yeah.
It's him who first loved us.
Yeah.
So why does it tell us to snatch them?
Cool. Very simply, because you can. that's the thing. God uses means, and part of his means for saving people is you. So you may be the instrument that God uses to snatch someone from the fire. Have you thought about that? So your mates at school are heading for the fire, and you may be the one that God uses to snatch them from the fire, to keep them safe from the fires of hell. That's what it's talking about, from the fires of judgment. So at the end of the day, if that person gets saved, is it God who saved them? Yes, it is, isn't it? Because God saves people. How did he do it? He used you. And so God, sometimes there's a balance in the Bible of giving us the big picture. God saves you. It's all a work of his grace. But sometimes he focuses in and he says, but I'm going to use you to do it. I'm going to use you as a tool in my hand. Does that make sense? So both are true. You absolutely have a responsibility to snatch people from the fire. That's what God can use us to do, to say, hey, look, you're going astray. Come on, you've got to believe in Jesus. Come back. Stop doing that sin. That's absolutely true. But if it happens, it's God's grace. And both are true. And you just got to say both are true, because the Bible does. Doesn't make an apology for it. Doesn't try and say one's more true than the other. No, both are true. You can do it, but God's in charge over it all.
Fantastic. That's cool. One question that wasn't in there that I'm going to ask you, and again, other leaders, young people, you could contribute to this if you want to. You mentioned in the second session about revising and about learning parts of the Bible.
Yes.
Any particular places, if someone says, I really want to get something in my head, what particularly would you recommend for them to learn? Are there any particular passages that you think, if I'm going to set about, if I want to learn a verse tonight, or a couple of verses, where should I go? I've kind of sprung that on him, I'm very sorry.
Well, my humble opinion is just anywhere.
Cool.
You know, there are some verses you probably wouldn't want to learn, in fairness, just in isolation. You know, like God made a tree or something. You know, that's not massively going to serve you. But the thing is, we believe that the scriptures are good. Let me just read a verse. Where is it? Okay, Jeremiah 15:16 says this: "When your words came, I ate them. When your words came, I ate them." What a weird saying. When your words came, I ate them. Now, are you eating God's words? And so actually the thing is, if you're cracking your Bible open every day, if you're doing it often enough, you'll start to remember bits of the Bible anyway. So if I start some Bible verses, you'll probably find that you could mouth them along with me, because you know them. They're just in there. That the Holy Spirit kind of puts them there. But sometimes you just have to be really deliberate. So there's some of the famous verses. So verses that help you to explain the gospel to others are really good verses to remember. So John 3:16, it's a verse that we kind of, everybody knows, it's written on lots of things. But actually, it's a really good verse to know, because it's a way that you can explain the gospel to someone. You know, so for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, you can make that personal. You can say, well, can you put your name in that? For God so loved Nathan that he gave his one and only son at the cross. Do you see what I mean? You can use a verse from the Bible to help you. So there's some great verses to learn. Other verses that just help you to remember what's true. So when you are struggling with a particular sin, verses that help you with that sin. So boys, whether this is true for you now or not, at some point you will really struggle with lust over girls. Okay, it's just the way we're wired. And here's the thing, there's a verses in the Bible that you can remember. So there's a part of 1 Thessalonians that talks about kind of, you know, sexual immorality having no place amongst God's people. Learn it, because the psalm I quoted earlier, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Holy Spirit can use it to help you to fight sin. So probably those things. Remember some verses that help you to explain the gospel to your friends, and remember some verses that help you to fight sin. So the Lord Jesus, when he was a human here on earth, what did he do? He learned God's word. So when the devil tempted him in the desert, what did he say to the devil? What did he say? Brilliant. It is written. That's how he fought the devil. Do you know what the only weapon God has given you to fight the devil with? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is your weapon to do war with Satan. So learn it, use it, eat it. That would be where I'd suggest. But you've probably got some specifics.
No, that's really helpful, because, as you say, once you start coming up with specifics, then lots of other specifics that you aren't mentioning. Go on, Beth. Go on.
A few practical ideas. This is what we did with my youth group not so long ago. We got Bible verses and printed them on business-sized cards.
And then
laminated
them. Oh, no.
So if you've got some favourite verses, print them onto business card-sized things. Just print it out on a page. And say to your youth leader, can you laminate these for me? Because you can get business card-sized lamination pockets. And they're just so cool. It makes you want to hold it. It makes you want to read it. It makes you want to stick it on your wall because it looks cool. The other thing that we've done is I went round and said to people, what's your favourite verse of the Bible? And you get to know some amazing verses that you think, I've never known that one before. I didn't come across that one before. And it also is a great conversation starter. So if you want to go up and speak to older people, one of the great questions you can start with is, what's your favourite verse of the Bible? So it works that way as well. Mm. And the last thing I'm going to say is Colin Buchanan.
Oh, Colin.
What a legend.
What a hero. I love Colin.
I still listen. I'm 32, and I still listen to Colin Buchanan in the car because it's full of scripture truths. My favourite one is the one where he just does Bible verses all the way through. I can't remember.
Baba, do baba.
as I have
there's another one as well.
But isn't that the name of the CD? Don't be embarrassed. Just don't let your friends see that you've bought a kid's CD. But basically, it is awesome. Colin became
Jesus Rocks
and there
the world
will become
amazing.
A point when you become a student age where it's actually cool again. So you're just preparing for the future, really.
Yeah.
I think.
He rules the earth. Yeah. He rules the sky. He's the whole.
Well, I mean, just recently, I've been in the car and I put Colin Buchanan's CD on, and there was one that came up, and I was like, that is so relevant to my life.
Yeah.
Like what he was saying, I was like, I'm so glad that he's brought that, that God brought that to my attention through this silly man who's absolutely amazing and brings the Bible words into my head.
Yeah. Just a couple, if you're after a couple of other tips for memorizing bits of the Bible, use times, so you have dead times, okay? So dead times are things when you're doing something but your mind's not engaged. So cleaning your teeth is one of those things, okay? So here's what you do. If you've got a verse from the Bible you're trying to remember, the lamination thing's cool for carrying them around, but just scribble it on a bit of paper, blue tack it to the mirror in the bathroom, and when you're cleaning your teeth, try and memorize it, close your eyes, try and say it in your head, and clean your teeth. It's a great way to use 2 minutes of your life if you spend that long cleaning your teeth. You should do. That's the parent speaking. but, you know, that's one way to do it. The other time, your dead time, is when you're walking to school sometimes. So some of you may have a walk to school or a bus journey to school. Use it to do it. So put a verse on your phone, because then you can still look cool, like you're still being a cool teenager. But you're just looking at a verse on the Bible from on your screen, and you're coming, covering it, using it. So a great way to do it, and eventually they stick.
Brilliant. Or just pick a Beatles song.
And then write things. Hey Jude, I like it. It's good.
That's the Beatles bit. That's not the Bible bit.
Oh yeah. Oh, I remembered the wrong bit.
Brilliant. Is there anything else that anyone wants to be brave and to ask while Nathan's here? Hello? We're doing the roving, are we?
Does God still love people when they go to hell?
Ooh. All the best, Nathan.
I don't know. There's a bit of me that wants to say no, because the Bible is very. We struggle with it, but the Bible says, you know, at one point, Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated, and there is a definite contrast. And sometimes we shy away. You know, we want God to be this big cuddly bear who loves everybody, but there is a justice in God. But we read into the word hate something that the Bible doesn't have, if that makes sense. So we're haters, like this is vengeance, or just just got it against you, and then we say, well, God's really unfair to have it against some people and not others, and so we chase down a wrong avenue, but very very simply there is a, you know, God will punish sinners one day, and God will bring others to heaven, and there is that sense of, does God love those in hell? I think the simple answer is the Bible doesn't tell us. It's not explicit, so I wouldn't want to state something that God hasn't told us. But the point is, the better question to ask is, does God love this world now? And the answer is yes. He passionately loves this world. He sent his Son into this world to die for sinners, and the hand of God is outstretched to sinners now. So does he love the people that are heading for hell? Absolutely he does. And that's the better question to ask, because that's the one the Bible does tell us about. Does that make sense? So sometimes it's our mind chases to all sorts of questions, and they're really intriguing. Like, I have loads of questions that the Bible doesn't go to. And when we ask things like that, sometimes you just have to say, so in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, God has revealed the secret, revealed things to us, but the secret things belong to God. And we've got to trust that the things God has made clear to us are the things he wants us to know, and the things he hasn't told us, he doesn't really think we need to know right now, and we may never need to know. So you just got to kind of trust God. It's all about, do you remember I said about God's character? He reveals his character, and that's because that's the unchanging thing. So you cling to God's character. He tells us lots about that. He's good. He makes known what we need to know, and you just got to trust him. You've got to trust him. That's faith, and that's what it means to be a creature in love with our Creator. Does that help?
It's helpful as well, because it kind of gives a bit of a framework. What do we do with these big questions that the Bible doesn't seem to completely address? It can be helpful to find out what does the Bible say, And where can we go from there? So the Bible tells us, as it says on the wall over there, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So let's start from there. God is good. Everything that he does is good. The Bible also tells us that everything in this world is a recipient of God's grace. So everybody, Christian or not, is a recipient, receives God's grace. Now, different kinds of grace, but everybody is kept in some way by God. So the removal of that grace will lead to something that isn't very nice. And so, as Nathan says, there is no clear answer. But it's taking those things that the Bible does tell us and then and going from there. It's a good question. Cool. Excellent. I've lost a bit of paper. I think it's you, Beth.
Oh, we've got a reading now. Great.